You are the creator of your life. You're the author of your book. And what kind of book is it? And if you don't particularly like the chapter you're in, you can flip the page and write something new.
Hi, ladies. Welcome again to the Women Who Lead Summit. And I am so excited because I have a woman here who I've been following. I was just telling her that I follow her so much that I feel like she's like my best friend. We should just go out for coffee or something. She's an absolute pleasure. And I'm really excited to introduce her to you. She's an inspiring leader in personal transformation and spiritual growth. Her name is Donna. And Donna is a life mastery coach, a minister, and the visionary founder of Vibrant Living International, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping individuals live vibrant, purpose-driven lives. And you guys know I am all about purpose. Okay. She has over 30 years of experience. Donna has guided countless people worldwide towards abundance, harmony, and thriving relationships through her spirit-led, Christ-centered approach. Now, Donna is the creator of the Spiritual Intelligence Method, a revolutionary framework that helps individuals unlock clarity, peace, self-confidence, and productivity. Hello! The woman is a full package, okay? Now, she is also the host of the Vibrant Living Podcast and the author of the three powerful books that illuminate the path to self-discovery and transformation. So today, Donna has agreed to be here and share with you her expertise on her talk, Design Your Destiny, Secrets to Vivacious Living Revealed. All right, I'm so excited. She'll guide you through all the powerful secrets of living with purpose, passion, and vitality while embracing the life God has designed and destined for you. So please join me in welcoming this extraordinary human, Donna, to the stage at the Women Who Lead Summit. Donna, how are you?
I am doing fabulous. How are you today, Nina?
I'm so well. I just love you so much. And I just, I kept telling Donna, like, I have her, I'm on her newsletter. I'm in her LinkedIn. I'm like following her where she goes. If I, you know, when the podcasts come on, I'm like trying to catch her podcast. Absolutely phenomenal human being, Donna. And I'm really grateful for you. So I love your topic, right? Because you're talking about designing your destiny, which is super powerful. And I think more of us need to know what that is. So I wanted to start off by asking you, like, how can these women who are here begin to take ownership of their destiny and start designing their life that aligns with their God-given purpose? Because I really believe that we are all created for something. And I just wanted you to guide us in that. Who else but Donna to do that? So,
well, I would love to dive into that. But as you can imagine, when you hear that question, it is a very popular question. Why am I here? I mean, that goes back through the ages. What am I here for? What am I supposed to do? And we can get almost frozen trying to figure out that. But the things that I'm going to be sharing today simplifies it. It makes it practical so that you can have handles on how to create a life that you love. I call it vibrant living. And it is one of the easiest ways to think about designing your destiny is, first of all, it's possible. It is possible to create a life you love. It is possible to make a difference in the world. It is possible to live in purpose, but not to overcomplicate it at the same time. One of the easiest ways is begin to be awareness around the things in your life that you love. What are some of the things that bring you joy? What are some of the things that you do and you lose track of time? Those are some clues on what areas are your sweet spots. It's areas. And for me, it's changed through the decades. In my 20s, it was one thing. In my 30s, it was something else. And as I went through the decades, it's sometimes different, but there usually is a core thing that you absolutely love. And most of the time, we don't recognize it. Now, when Nina introduced me, she told you I'd been coaching for over 30 years. And when I began doing it, we didn't really call it coaching. Coaching wasn't the buzzword that everyone was using. Usually a coach was linked to some physical activity, sports, or of that kind of nature. But the kind of coach that Nina and I are wasn't a word that we use going over 30 years back. And I'm really dating myself because that's before internet, before it was so popular where we all had computers in our home. We're going back a ways. And I was meeting with women in different organizations as a volunteer, but on a regular basis. I began mentoring, discipling, coaching, even though we didn't use that word back then, but I didn't recognize it. And that's one of the things, is to begin to have awareness about the things that you love and the things that you don't. Notice areas of your life when you say, I have to, and begin to be aware of the alignment of really what you are doing. You are the creator of your life. You're the author of your book. And what kind of book is it? And if you don't particularly like the chapter you're in, you can flip the page and write something new. So as I share this, Nina, what resonates with you about this?
That's a really good question, Donna. I don't know if I always pause to think about what I love. I don't know if I always do that. Because another question I never think about is, what is my hobbies? I don't ever think about that. I'm such a workaholic, like I'm constantly working and creating these things. And I love doing it. But I never stop to think, what are your hobbies? Like, what do you love? So that's going to live with me today, because I'm going to really think about that. And I want to have more of that in my life. Yes. And you know, what you mentioned, that maybe what you liked in your 20s, you didn't like in your 30s and so on, because people sometimes get stuck in a silo, mm-hmm. right? They think that they have to keep doing the same thing. And right. you don't, even as you know, when you mentioned the fact that even, you know, 30 years ago, you didn't call it coaching. You're right. I mean, when I started in 2002, I went into leadership for Christian leadership for women. And I was leading women all the time and coaching them, but I didn't call it coaching either. It was just leadership, right?
Right.
And so that's interesting. And that's what tilted my head a little bit, because you're right. I think we should really think about all of our unique talents and skills and things that we have throughout our life that actually we've already been doing for a long time or can help someone else with, right? So thank you for that, Donna. That was brilliant, actually. And it did make me stop and pause. And now I have to go do the work. Thank you so much for that. You know, because there's a lot of things that we don't think about, and there's a lot of secrets, right? So I wanted you to give us like those key secrets to vivacious living, right? So that women can create that life that's filled with passion, that has energy, that has fulfillment in their life. Because, you know, we can, you know, think about the becoming, having that ownership and everything. But I want to know what the secrets are that we can start actually creating a life that's filled, really filled.
I will answer that. And I have six of them, but I really like to share them and then have your thoughts as we go. But number one is awareness. And so it's becoming aware. For those of you who don't know me, I'll give you a little bit of background. I grew up in a home that wasn't happy, and I was supposed to be a boy, and I wasn't, nevertheless. And that family ended up in divorce, and then my mother remarried, and I became a blended family. And then it was a very religious home. I'm glad I got to know God, but there was religion, which to me is not always relationship. And that's the difference for me. And then at the age of 14, someone that was close to us hurt me and I became pregnant. And at 15, I become a mother. And I tell you this because all of the things and all of the feelings and emotions that I had were, I was scared out of my mind. I was angry. I was hurt. So when you're a teenager, the emotions are not just a little. They're either 0 to 100. It's like you have them. They're very strong. And I say this because the story I began to create about myself was nobody would love me, that I was ugly, unwanted, stupid, and a host of other non-wonderful words. But I had a relationship with God, and he began to tell me what the right story was for me, and that I was none of those things. I was the total opposite of those things. And so many times, without realizing it, we're beginning to write our story, our narrative, and it shapes our life. Does life always have to be hard? It was for me. I expected it and I received it, because we receive what we expect. As you think in your heart, so are you. So when we talk about awareness, not just what you love, but what is the story that you created about your life? What is some of your childhood things that may be still affecting your decision making? And think about that. As you think about what you, who you want to be, I like to word it that way. I didn't want to be hurt. I wanted to be healthy and whole and wealthy, not poverty. And I wanted to bring joy everywhere I went. I wanted those things. And that's who I wanted to be. And when you became awareness about your story and then who you want to be instead, then you can begin to make decisions and create a vision for that. So as Nina was saying, it's not about the job description or the title, but who at the end of your life do you want people to say about you? So many times us girls are like about losing weight or how we look on the outside and all that kind of stuff. But at a memorial service, people are not saying, oh, she had great hair. No, she listened to me. She cared. She was kind. That's what people say in a memorial service. So when I began to think about who I wanted to be, then I began to make decisions, reinforce what God was saying about me, not what other people had said about me, because what happened to me, and there was a lot of that going on behind the scenes. I began to create a vision of who Donna is, what, and do that for you. I don't know if you've noticed by now, but whenever I teach, there's nothing that you just walk away and go, oh, that's great. You might. But if you, though, I give you stuff to take notes. I give you stuff to implement. I like to go deep. I'm not a surface kind of girl. So what's the vision that you want of who you want to be? How will that impact the world? And when you begin to make decisions from that place, you'll step into your purpose without ever trying. I didn't get here. Like, I didn't intentionally become a coach. It happened as I began to be who I wanted to be. And then I started getting the titles and the accolades around who I was already. Those kind of things are not creative. They're reflective of who you've already become. And as you begin to notice that, your vision will get clear. One of the things about vision, let's imagine you're taking a drive in the car. Now, if you were to drive down your street looking only in the rearview mirror, how far would your car get down the road? Not very far, right? So your past is your rearview mirror. Your vision is your windshield. Even if you made a mistake or it didn't go the way you think or whatever it is, as long as you keep your eye on your vision, you can keep your car moving down the road. But when we focus on our past, what happened before that we think we didn't do good enough, because every girl that I know is a perfectionist on something, and we think we didn't do it good enough, fast enough, and on all that stuff. Take a breath and continue to look at your vision and take every day one day at a time. What are your thoughts about that, Nina?
I mean, hello. I had my son at 15 years old as well. And, you know, I was abused as a child. So I just remember not feeling any worth. Yep. And then I had kind of a meanie type of family too, right? Where they would call me stupid and dumb and all this other stuff. And having a kid at 15, I wasn't going to amount to anything. And, you know, all of those stories. And you're so right when you said we write these stories and then we receive them because that's what we wrote. That's what we're believing. Right. And so, you know, I love that you said that. Who do you want others to see you as? Right. Like, what's the person that you want people's memory to linger about when you leave this place? Right. That was good. Cause I'm like, yeah, I always think about when I pass, if God would give me that glimpse to see all the people in the room, what would they say about me? Right. Mm-hmm. I want to leave a good legacy. And I love that you said what you started doing was having this reinforcement of what God says about you. You also talked about how religion, it wasn't something that really drove you because you didn't feel like there wasn't any relationship in religion, which I'm assuming what you mean by that is all the rules and regulations as opposed to relationship. Is that right?
I have a relationship with God, not a religion.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, okay. And then you know, you dug into the vision of who am I and who do I want to be? Like, who is it that I really, really want to be? Not what the industry says, not what the social media says, not what any of that happens, because that's what's happening right now is we stopped living our lives and we're starting to live our lives by viewing other people's lives.
Yep.
And that's a big big mistake, because we start comparing ourselves and we're just not good enough and all those things start to happen. But I love that you said that when you start to have that vision, the vision, basically what you're saying is the vision will find you. Like, you'll end up stepping into your purpose because you are focused on the vision that you want and not what you've done in the past. Did I get that right?
Yes, I would clarify even a little more and say, as you focus on your vision, you begin to make different decisions that bring it about. Mm-hmm. The vision is different. Instead of I'm expecting it to all go wrong and when's the other shoe going to drop, which I've been there, done that. I don't know about you. And then I experienced it because, again, I was expecting it. If I focus on my failures, then they seem to be amplifying wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. How does your faith play a role in that? Like, how do you feel like God plays a role in that, in your vision?
One of the main things for me is all things work together for my good. And I have said that from the very beginning, all things work together for my good. I don't know how now. I can't see that this thing is good. I don't know how this is going to work out. I call these things gifts wrapped in sandpaper. They're not like, oh, yay, this is what I've always wanted. Yeah. They're like a gift that rubs you the wrong way. And you're like, this is awful and uncomfortable and all of those things. But there is so much growth and learning, which brings me to number three, which is resilience.
Okay, go ahead and do this one. That's a good one right there. Let's do it.
Number three of the secrets to vivacious living is resilience. I know I'm not the only one, because I've talked with thousands and thousands of people that it never happens as fast as we want it to, or even as we want it to sometimes. I am a planner. Like, I love to plan. I can geek out on wasting time, even just planning and planning and planning. I love to plan. And I have jokingly said to God, here's the plan in case you don't have one. I have figured one out. And of course, I was laughing, but kind of serious, because this is the way it should go, even though I know that all things work together for my good. And I have come back. I mean, there were times in my life that I've lived by the word of God. His seed won't beg for bread. Because literally, there were days I didn't know how I would eat. And so learning to not just have God's word be something that is on your bookshelf, dusty. This was something I walked and lived out. And resilience is that bounce back factor. It's the confident expectation, even when it's not going the way you think it should, that it's going to work out for my good. I have jokingly said to people in my own mind, mostly, it's like they trying to do me harm. And I'll say, you don't really know who you're up against. It's like that thing kids do in school, my dad can beat up your dad kind of thing. Well, you don't know who's with me. And I really know he's with me. And he's going to protect me. And he's going to bring things around for my good. For learning that resilience is a powerful force, to learn how to choose what you want. We get to choose pessimistic or optimistic. I get to choose worst case scenarios, or all things work together for my good. I get to choose who I want to be and be that, no matter what the circumstances. That is one of the keys to spiritual intelligence. It's not based on circumstances. In fact, just in case you didn't know this, God doesn't lead by circumstances. God leads by his spirit, which my kids will know his voice, and the voice of another they don't follow. And so beginning to know how to follow him and to be persistent, to hold on to the promises in the face of things that appear possibly the opposite. Been there, done that. Have the t-shirt, and I'm on the other side showing you God is faithful no matter what. Which brings us to number four, which is compassion and forgiveness. Without this, compassion toward yourself and others, forgiveness for yourself and others, you will never have a vibrant life. And I know there's somebody listening to me that says, but you don't know what happened to me. And no, I may not know what happened to you. But let me start by saying what forgiveness is not, because it's one of the most misunderstood things. Forgiveness is not for other people. It's for you. Forgiveness is not saying what happened to you was okay, because what happened to me was not okay. It wasn't. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. Forgiveness is not saying they get away with it. If I forgive them, they get away with it. Because really, the only person I'm punishing is me. Everybody reaps what they sow. Forgiveness is not trust. It doesn't mean I have to be close and have them in a really close relationship. Forgiveness is not that. It's not about them. It's not punishment toward them. What forgiveness is about you. And this is a really important pact. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. I've had so many people say to me, well, I'm working on forgiving. I'm trying. I'll get there. But that is a statement that's really saying, if we get to the root of it, I'm trying to feel like it. Forgiveness is a decision. Your emotions will follow. Healing can't happen without forgiveness first. Not deep, true healing. I had someone to say to me today that, well, I just thought with time I'd get over it. Well, it doesn't work like that. It just gets buried and it doesn't really. So if there's any situation in your life that you still feel, this is my big fancy word, ugh, you think about them and it's just like, or something like that. If there's something in your life, I'm going to give you 5 steps to truly forgive. And remember, it's a decision. Number one, so what am I forgiving them for? So many times I've heard, well, if it's like parents or something like that, they did the best they could. And then it's probably true. But what are you forgiving them for? The more specific, the more real, and the more freedom you will also have. What are you forgiving them for? Which brings us to number 2. My part in the situation is this. Taking responsibility for whatever your part was. Maybe there's none, but it's an important question to ask. My part in this is what? Because you may need to forgive yourself too. Number 3, what do you want to come out of this? What are you looking for to come from this forgiveness exercise or that relationship? 4, I appreciate about you, or I understand about the individual that we're talking about. What do you appreciate or understand? It could be something like the example I used with a parent. I understood they did the best they could because of however they were raised. Some form of understanding is number 4. And number 5 is saying out loud, I forgive you for. Remember, it's a decision, not a feeling. Unforgiveness is poison. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person is sick from it. Forgiveness is also like an onion. If you've had severe trauma, it can happen in layers, and you forgive the capacity you can today. And perhaps if there's a trigger down the road, instead of going, oh man, I thought I forgave, get into judgment about yourself. Instead, smile and say, God has a deeper level of healing for me today, and go through the process again. I'm telling you, it's worth it to get to vibrancy so the stuff in our past doesn't have to weigh us down anymore, that we can live a life of peace and joy and compassion toward others and ourselves, because you are the creator of the world, your world. You're the creator of your experience, co-partnering with God. You choose who you want to be. And before I go on to number 5, Nina, do you have any thoughts about all of that?
Yes. I mean, look at all the notes going on over here. I had to get another notebook. Okay. So I'll just touch on a few of them. But, you know, I really love that the resilience piece, right? We give God the plan when it's not fast enough. I am such a person who does this. Oh my God. When you said it, I just giggled and I said, God must laugh at us for thinking that we have the right plan. It is hilarious. But, you know, resilience is the bounce back factor. I want everybody to understand that the resilience is the bounce back factor, because a lot of times we think that not getting the leads right is just going to destroy us, or not getting the right offer, or not getting the right, and none of that will destroy you. Just bounce back. And you, and I know that I bet you 95% of the women who are at this event have something that they had to bounce back from, right, yeah. Donna? I mean, we all have something in our life.
Absolutely.
That has tried to take us down. And then, you know, you talked about compassion and forgiveness, which is something that I love to teach on myself, because it's completely set me free. Mm-hmm. Forgiving the person who abused me as a child, who was supposed to be like a father, but he was my stepfather and he abused me. It took me a long time. I was in my 30s when I was 6 years old. And I had to really get into what God was talking about, of, you know, forgiving your enemy and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No way, Jose. I'm not letting him off the hook. But I didn't realize that I wasn't letting me off the hook.
Absolutely.
You know? I love that you talked about it's a decision and not a feeling, because you're 100% right. That's something I had to do, is forgive him, even though, and I told him, even though I am furious, I'm going to forgive you anyway, because I'm making a decision. And after that, You're right. The emotions followed. I no longer have any hate or anger or ill will or anything. It's just, it's like almost like nothing. It's like a void, you know, which Absolutely. Is a good thing. So you're right. True healing will not happen with unforgiveness.
Right.
And you might be able to succeed. And this is what I want everybody to understand is you might be able to succeed outwardly with your Correct. Career and everything else, because I did.
Yep.
But inside, something's always going to impede or stop you or make you a perfectionist or all of these other tools that we end up getting because we just couldn't or don't forgive. Right, Donna? Yeah. Yeah.
One of the words that I use often is whatever you judge, you retain. And so whatever, it's one of the reasons why it's a psychological reason why. Let me use the example of an alcoholic parent. Let's say a dad and a daughter, and she is mistreated, abused, hates it, hates alcohol, will have nothing to do with it, and turn around and marry an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
you do that. You see that kind of behavior, or they begin, or they become it.
Yeah.
As well, because whatever you judge, you hold on to. You hold on to it. And so without realizing it, we get behavior in our life that we don't want, and we don't realize that it's caught, it's tied up into holding unforgiveness because we didn't deserve it either. And it isn't that they deserve it. It's setting us free. I'm yeah. forgiving because I was first forgiven. And it yeah. isn't that they, you know, they're in fact, you know, we could tell God what we think they deserve, but everybody reaps what they sow. And I'm not the recipient to make sure they do that. I am called to simply forgive and turn the rest over to Him. And it is hard there on the fence when you're trying to decide to do that. But once you do it, the other side, it's so worth it.
And the truth is, the enemy owns the fence, right? God always said, you're either cold or warm. You know, if you're lukewarm, I'm gonna spew you out of my mouth. So I mean, warm or hot. And that's something that we have to remember, that when we're on this place of on the fence, you have to make a decision. And I implore you to choose life, as the word says.
Yep, absolutely.
Because unforgiveness is death. It kills a lot of things around you. It's death, right? So I love that you gave us the five steps, right? Like what am I forgiving them for? And then getting very specific, like you're not letting us get away with just the surface stuff, right? we got to dig deep. What part of it is my responsibility? If there is one, you should look at that. What I want out of this, what is the outcome of this, right? And that I understand or appreciate them because that was powerful. And the I forgive you for, right? And being really, really like direct and specific about what that is, that will set you free. I promise. I've done it. I love that so much, Donna. And you said you had more, right? You have two more.
I have two more. There were six.
More notes for me. Okay, here we go.
The number five is intuition. Listening to your gut. Most of us, if we're really honest, and we had something go the way we didn't want it to, if we looked back and looked at our gut and what we really thought on the inside, most of us ignored it. One of my clients ended up, after being single a long time, found a man who promised her all kinds of things. And on her wedding day, she told me, "My gut felt sick, like I was making a decision, but everything looked fine on the outside. So I went ahead and married him anyway." And then the violence and the anger became evident shortly thereafter. And I reminded her, because she wasn't trusting herself, "I made this huge mistake. You knew. We just didn't give it credence." So it is so vital to have moments of stillness. Your intuition is your biggest connection between you and God, your spirit to the Holy Spirit. Having moments of stillness and intimacy with God and listening and asking questions and not rushing. Quite a few years back, God challenged me to be still and know that I am God. And I argued with him, as I've been known to do. "Wait a minute, have you not seen my to-do list? How am I supposed to sit on the couch and be still for 30 minutes or 10 minutes even?" I'm like, I don't know that I can do that. And he chuckled and said, "Yeah, I know, but do it anyway." So I did. And being the planner that I am, I tracked it, like tally marks, you know, like how much water you drank a day. Well, I tallied every day that I did stillness. And over that year, where I did that, my business doubled. Intimacy with God always produces life. It gives us peace. It gives us clarity. It gives us wisdom. It gives us confidence. So it's not in the noise. So I'm going to take just a minute, and I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'd like you to take a deep breath. Put your feet firmly on the floor wherever you are. And take a minute to review your life. Let's look at relationships. As if you're high in the sky like an eagle overlooking your life, how are your relationships going? How's the business or vocation, whatever you're involved in that area? What about time? How are you using that commodity? What about abundance, prosperity? Is there enough? What about your health? Taking care of you. As you pause, what do you notice that needs attention? Where do we need to make some adjustments, some alignment? And if you were to look in the future and see yourself with all of your dreams fulfilled, what are three words that would describe this future you? And I'd like you to write those down and begin to use them as a vision to pull you to who you really are all along. And notice what needs attention and begin with awareness and vision and compassion to take steps in that direction. You can open your eyes if you haven't already. Which brings us to number 6, and that is faith. Faith is defined as believing for something that you can't yet see, touch, feel, or taste. It's beyond our senses. It is having faith in God as the center of my life. And the simplest way to display what you're really believing is to think about your imagination. Now, as kids, we use our imagination for all kinds of creative things. We could be and do anything. But as adults, let's be really honest, we use our imagination to terrorize ourselves. We're always picturing the worst case scenario, as if we imagine it, we could prepare for it and prevent it. How's that working for you? Never worked for me. Albert Einstein is known to say, imagination is more important than knowledge. Now just stop and think about that first part of that statement. Imagination is more important than knowledge. We're taught the absolute opposite in school because, he said, knowledge is limited to what I understand right now. And imagination embraces the entire world. To me, it embraces the spirit. It connects with God. And he knows all there ever will be. So use your imagination every day on purpose, focusing on what you do want and imagining what it would be like to be in it before you get there. It reflects what you're believing and what you're thinking. So faith, or your imagination, is visionary. It's for your good or not. So when I think about these 6 things, awareness, vision, being resilient, having compassion and forgiveness, using your intuition and your faith, from the little girl I told you about to the woman that's standing before you, it has brought me here and many other stories I could tell. So challenge yourself. Utilize these powerful superpowers to break the limitations and begin to design a life you would love. When you focus on who you want to be, balance and alignment happens. There's so much more I could teach you and go into, but I'd love to hear, as I close up here, Nina, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I love everything that you talked about today, and it's going to live with me today. It's going to live in my heart. When you said to close your eyes, I did do that. And the 3 statements that came to me were healthy in body, sound in mind, and abundant in resources, right? And that's because you pause for a second and you say, God, you know, where am I going? What am I doing? What have you called me to do? And I love that you talked about your intuition, right? There's so many things that you said there that really hit my gut, because in my last marriage, I'm remarried, but in my last marriage, that's exactly what happened. I didn't want to be married, but I thought, I have to. I'm pregnant now. I have to, have no choice. I didn't want it. And it ended up being a shamble of a marriage. And you should go with your intuition, and I didn't. And you're right. There's so many things in our life, business-wise, life-wise, parent-wise, whatever it is, that we have those intuitions and we push them to the side. And I love that you said, you know, that intimacy that intuition is like an intimacy with God. I had never heard that put that way before. And that really like resonated with me. So the 3 words in the future you is the ones I gave you. And then, of course, wrapping that up with the beautiful faith, right? And that faith in God, for me, is the foundation. So imagination being more important than knowledge. What a beautiful thing, right? I think that's why God talks about coming to him like a child, right? Coming to him without all of our stuff that already hangs us up. When kids go up to God, they're going up to him with full open hearts and minds, and they're not worried about how you look at them, how you see them, what you think about them. It doesn't matter. And if only we were to do that, right? To step up and be with God in that way. Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful.
Oh, so beautiful. Donna, you're beautiful. Your heart is beautiful. Your message is beautiful. Thank you for being here with these amazing women and for pouring this into their lives, because it was special for me. I know it's special for them. And I believe you have something for them, right? Something that they
have a free downloadable PDF called Renew, Revive, and Thrive. It's secrets, more secrets, not just the ones I shared today, of vibrant living. I'd love you to take advantage of that and begin to be like Nina and follow me and learn some of the other things as well. I have a YouTube channel and a podcast. So, you know, just begin to let's get connected and build a relationship, and let's just spread the vibrancy so that we can have more light and love everywhere we go.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the gift for them. And I will make sure they have everything they need to connect with you, Donna. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you more than you know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies, I told you, right? I know. She's amazing. I know. The first time I met her on my podcast, I've been following her ever since, because I just love everything she's about. I'm going to make sure to link all of her information, because I want you to have that all. Plus, my team has put together already a sheet with her and her freebie and everything else, so that you can definitely connect, follow, and really just take in all of the wisdom that is being poured onto you. Thank you, guys.